Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Our guest today is Barbara B.
Hello, Scott.
Hi there, Barb. I think I can probably say Brown.
You can?
Because I did. No. Well, actually, folks, just to let you know, though, we do respect the anonymity, and we'll do whatever we have to for the people who come on this show. So many of us, I don't know, are at a point where I think we believe sharing is probably more important than concealing, so we kind of go that way. But many people, for valid reasons, don't want people to know who they are, and we want you to know that if you decide one day you'd like to come on this show, that your anonymity will certainly be protected. And you'll often hear people in different recovery rooms, if you go to them, being announced as Scott D or Barb B and that sort of thing, and that's part of that. So, folks, that's what that's all about, and that's a long way to say good morning.
It is. But good morning.
So, Barb, we're on this famous eighth step of our journey, which talks about making a list of people we have harmed, may have harmed, think we've harmed, you know, and getting ready and willing to make those amends. When you think of step eight, and I know you've been around this system for quite some time.
Right.
Do you have any shortcuts today, or when you're going to prepare this list, or do you even do it anymore? You know, like, what's your take on this end of the? Give us some thoughts on step eight, and we'll just work out from there.
Okay. So, yes, I have to laugh when you go, do you even do it anymore? Oh, the day I stop doing it will be the day I'm dead. But no, for step eight, I know a lot of people don't really want to spend a lot of time here, and yet I find that this step is a really crucial step for me, myself, mm-hmm. because for me, I call this the forgiveness step. And if I don't make myself right with myself, mm-hmm. and also prepare myself to be right with others, I cannot move to that next step, which is actually making the amend. So for me, this is a prep step, but I need to spend a lot of time in prayer, asking help mm-hmm. from my higher power, whom I choose to call God, mm-hmm. To give me the help that I'm not able to, because forgiveness is just not a natural quality. I'd love to say it was and be a saint, but you know, if I did that, the halo above my head would like fall down and become a noose and go, and that would be the end of me. So yeah, no fooling myself here. You know, I realize that as a human being, for me, forgiveness is a decision. Mm. So it's a decision on my part that I am going to forgive. Now then, the feelings, which is generally where the stopping block becomes, because, mm-hmm. you know, one day I'm going, okay, yes, that's great. I'm going to forgive. And it's all good because everything's going right. And then the next day, things aren't so hunky dory. And that forgiveness that I was so willing to have yesterday is, oh, I'm never going to go there because I'm a human being and my feelings get in the way, because then I remember something that I hadn't thought about the day before, mm-hmm. or, you know, something happens that reminds me of the pain that I was caused because of a situation, and then my forgiveness all of a sudden is out the window.
Yeah.
So, you know, under times like that, I really need to go to prayer and say, you know, God help me. Like, you know, do for me what I cannot do for myself.
Yeah.
Right? That's really, and for me, I mean, my original stab at this particular step, you know, made a list. Well, my list I basically took from my step four inventory. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really add a whole lot to it because that was enough to deal with originally.
Yeah.
Right? As you clear that up and you walk through your recovery, again, I'm no saint. So I keep doing things that, you know, hurt other people. So I have to become cognizant of that and I have to then say, okay, I need to make another amend. And again, sometimes it's easier, one day's easier than another. You know, I can certainly think of an individual who I probably do owe an amends to, and I'm not really sure whether I'm ready to make it just yet.
Yeah. Well, you know that part in the next step that tells us, you know, to go ahead and make the amends, you know, unless you're going to hurt somebody. And often thought, and many will say, you know, and... you know, what about you? You know what I mean? Like, there's quite some amends you could make that would be, well, they would be painful. Now, it might be good pain even, but might not. You know, I mean, there might be some that by making the amend, you would put yourself in such a state that it's really not worth it. And I don't know. I haven't analyzed that at all, but I can see that, you know.
Oh, I could probably see that. I mean, yeah. And I would say I was probably in one of those scenarios yesterday, actually. You know, I've been very weepy lately, and it's, you know, in my opinion, it's the Holy Spirit working on me on one hand, but I also have a 17-year-old cat who keep thinking I have to put down. And every time I think about putting her down, I go into tears and I can't deal with it, right? And she's had a wound on her tail and she's got a cone around her neck and she's 17 and she's not very well sighted. So she's bumping into stuff at the cone and she can't wash herself. And it's just the whole household is in a big uproar. Right. But I am like so sensitive to her and every day I just keep thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to put her down. And then I break down and I start to cry. But then I had this situation yesterday who I have. And I'm going to use the term friend loosely here because it's actually more like a family scenario, not really family, but it's more in that category, who pushes my buttons on a good day. And I wasn't having a good day and she was coming over to do some stuff with me and she was just pushing those buttons left, right, and center. And you know, at one point, so then I ended up breaking down while she was there. And she said to me, oh, I thought something was wrong with you. She says, you're not usually like that. Well, I wanted to go, I wanted to attack her physically.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I'm going, well, that's not a very good Christian recovery type attitude. We're doing step 8 now. So I'm a human being and it's going to continue to happen, right? Day by day. And I have to also somewhere in that figure out, as you were just saying, do I just need to set up a boundary here with that individual because it is that individual? Yeah. Or do I, because again, my literature tells me not to be a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I have to kind of, I did say a prayer yesterday. I asked for forgiveness from my higher power. I said a prayer of blessing for her. That's as far as I'm willing to go right now.
Well, that's interesting because I'm just thinking, you know, the choice in that scenario, you know, people pleasing or confrontation, you know?
Yes.
And in to then bring boundaries into the scenario, it sounds like a pretty complex potential leave behind amend.
Well, you know what? And it kind of is because the reason I say that is because I actually did have a bit of a confrontation with her prior because she was coming over to pick something up.
Mm-hmm.
And she had somebody else coming with her and she said she might be late. So I had texted her and said, you know, I put the car in the dryer on the street so that the, you know, person could put the car in the driveway and I'm upstairs doing da 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 da. So if you're late, that's okay. Well, you see, she only reads the first line. So then she phones and says she can't find the person and that she was going to cancel and she couldn't come over. I said, did you read the rest of it? I said, this is the second time you're coming at me. Well, if we're going to go there, she goes. And I just said, she goes, we're both at fault. I said, if you believe that we're both at fault, I said, I have no problem accepting that. I said, but we're moving on from here. And I had to go there because yeah. I just knew in, this wasn't the first time this had happened, but if I bring it up, the wall of defensiveness becomes so high immediately and the attack comes back at me. And I knew that in my spirit, I wasn't strong enough to go there without becoming nasty.
Yeah.
And I refused to go there. So then I just cut it off and say, you want to say we're both wrong? I have no problem with that because, sure, am I wrong? I'm wrong every day. I might not be wrong in this instance, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to say, yes, I'm wrong, and let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. That's a good scenario. And I think, folks, you can see that relationship is always what we're talking about on this show and in this program. I mean, it's all about, you know, how do I relate to other people? And if I don't, I'm stuck in some corner. I'm playing the isolation game and not growing in me, you know, so it's a difficult scenario. And that's why, like Barb says, this step of preparing a list is a lot more than most people would dare to think. You know, it's pretty easy to put a list together. But when you look at the names on that list and think about each one and what that relationship is like, then you get into the, maybe, maybe not, or whatever. So like a system of separating what could be emotional amends from those that are not is probably the first step, you know, the list of everybody. And then the ones with emotions, which end up just like we're talking here. And those are the ones we're going to end up focusing on. And hopefully by the end of this month or this step process, however long different people spend on it, we'll be able to know pretty much how we're going to go and where we're going to go and, to whom we'll make amends, et cetera, et cetera. So, It's an interesting process, you know, and one of the things that happens when I do that whole list thing is even in the inner turmoil of a relationship scenario, as Barb's explaining there, I uncover other stuff. You know, it just kind of happens as it's going along, you know.
Absolutely.
And maybe, you know, may have to do with amends or not. But it's definitely to do with me, which is, you know, it's one more thing to kind of work on because I don't like the way I'm feeling as this thing is coming to a head and time is getting to where I've got to make a decision. Do I go to that person? Do I not? Do I talk to someone, sponsorship type role maybe, or another friend in the program? Where do I go from here? And I don't want to get stuck because then I'm in trouble.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, to me, I heard a couple of things there while you were talking. And one is, you know, I need to be emotionally fit before I go. And that was my whole key yesterday is that I knew yesterday I wasn't emotionally fit in order to address it any further than I did.
Yeah.
So I do need to be emotionally fit there. I also, if I am in a quandary about it, number one, yes, I need to go to prayer. If that is something that I use, then I need to go to prayer about it. And also sponsorship, yes, I need to go to a sponsor because sometimes, you know, I've been out looking for a washing machine, right? And they're saying to me, and did you look at the reviews? And I'm going, reviews. I read them, but I take them with a grain of salt because I also worked in human resources, and I know very well that some people, when they review totally on the negative. And some people, when they review totally on the positive. And I'm looking at this on a piece of paper. I don't know who it is that's writing this. So I don't know. And I can't take that as something, right? So, and of course now I forgot my train of thought.
So really, you got enough out to do another show on, so that's cool.
Oh, here we go again.
Well, yeah, it's a setup. But you know what? As you're talking there, and I'm thinking, I just put this blog piece together, sort of finalized it yesterday, but it was just how to share a burden, you know? And as I thought through that, one of the things I had laid out was that, especially in the jails, and I told people, one of the jail facilitators is going to be here today, so we've got to bring jail into it. And
right.
Jail gets people interested. I don't know why, but it does. Jail's a hot button. It's exciting. If you've never been in there, it's really exciting, and you want to try it. But, you know, how to share a burden, especially in a place like that, because by the time you're sitting down with the people you want to talk to, you know,
right.
You've gone through all these processes of getting by guards who don't like you in the beginning,
right.
In the first place, because you're going in to help the people who give them a hard time, et cetera, et cetera. And,
right.
And so to maintain a sense of collectedness and calm and so on, I have to make a conscious decision before I go in. And I was saying this in the blog that, you know, I have to measure very much and calculate who I am as I get into this scenario. So I've got to make a decision when I get into my car that no matter what happens between now and the time we're sitting down with some inmates or one or whatever the scenario, that I'm this way. So whatever happens between now and then is not going to affect me. And as long as I go in with that mindset, I can sit down that way. And then there's a possibility that the people in that room will take the calm and the collectedness and so on, as opposed to coming in angry and so on. And a lot of them are already angry, and we just have a, you know, I don't know what, but a kind of a situation in a jail that you don't want to have.
So, no, and that's very true. And before, the train of thought thing was about the perception and going to sponsorship to get clarification on what you can't see clearly yourself. And that, again, that also does apply going into the jail and what you've just talked about. Mm-hmm. Because if I come in all wound up, that's what I'm passing on as my share. I don't have the ability to listen, and that's definitely one of the key factors that needs to be, you know, needs to be happening when you're going in there to share. I mean, it's share the burden, but sharing the burden is a two-way street.
Yep.
And a really big part of that is listening instead of being heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And in a daily conversation, we're so busy trying to make ourselves being heard, we listen to nothing. Right? And then we wonder why we're always in trouble. Well, you didn't listen.
I gave up on that wonder, Molly. Anyway, Barb, we're going to go over to defer to our boss over there, the production boss, at least, today, Jay Rumball. And Jay is going to take us out, probably pay some bills. I'm not sure, but we'll leave it up to him.
Yeah, it's time to pay those bills, Scott.
Okay.
We'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.